Welcome to Sermons from First Presbyterian Church of Palo Alto. Each week we share a recording of the Sunday sermon, offering theologically progressive, social justice-oriented reflections grounded in scripture and in what's happening in our lives and around the world. Most weeks the sermon is preached by our pastor, the Reverend Tom Harris, and from time to time we're joined by guest preachers. The following sermon is from the 10 a.m. service on Sunday, February 1st, 2026. In this sermon, Reverend Harris explores the patriarchy and eternal life.
So after a couple of weeks of pretty intense sermons and then a pretty intense speech last night, I needed to take a breath. And this text seems like a good place to do it. We're continuing to read through the Gospel of John, and this text is a bit of a recap in the story before we get to a major story next week called The Woman at the Well. So I just want to focus on two things today. One is the patriarchal language in this text that is used for God and for Jesus, and the other is the concept of eternal life and judgment. So let's start with patriarchy. John's gospel is filled with references to God as Father and Jesus as the Son. You heard some of it today. We tried to change some things around in the text with those bracketed words, but it's hard to kind of get it all changed around and fixed. So why do we do that? Why do we even try to make that effort to change the language, the masculine language? Well, let's start with the low-hanging fruit. God is not a man. At least, I don't think God is a man. If I ever meet God and God is a man, I will be very surprised, and I will have to apologize for misgendering him all of this time. But my wager is that God is not a man. Some people will say, well, okay, maybe that's true, but calling God Father is a metaphor for our intimacy with God. Which is good stuff, but of course, mother does the same work, and the people that argue for intimacy don't usually want to use the term mother for God. And some will say we can call God Father because Jesus called God Father. Okay, that may be true historically. We don't know for sure, but it seems likely that Jesus did call God Father. And that's probably because Jesus was still a product of his time and culture. And if he wanted to communicate an intimate relationship with God to the people of his time and culture, calling God mother probably wasn't on the table, and so he used the term father. But here's the thing. Patriarchy is really bad. It's a really bad thing. It's bad for women, it's bad for men, it's bad for LGBTQ people, it's bad for the earth. Male supremacy, which is another term for patriarchy, is a horrible idea. And we can't just keep using patriarchal language for God and pretend it's not supporting patriarchy. Amen? You with me on this? Okay. So I generally change father to God, because God is not male. And there are other alternatives to naming God that can communicate intimacy and that kind of thing. But for most situations, I think God is a good replacement for Father. Then we have to deal with the Son. It does seem like Jesus was a boy. And we do need more good male role models. But here's the thing, is the gender of Jesus what is most important about Jesus? If you had to list the most important qualities of Jesus, would gender or gender identity be in the top 10? If you had to list those most important qualities, they might be loving, compassionate, selfless, wise, prophetic, radical, and he identified as a male? One of those things is not like the others. One of those things just doesn't belong. It's just so unimportant. So why do we lead with it? Why do we insist on calling Jesus the Son of God? I'll tell you why. Patriarchy. So again, here, we do want to preserve the idea that Jesus has an intimate relationship with God, so that familial relationship is worth trying to preserve. What are the alternatives? Well, child of God is okay, but can be a little awkward. The beloved is a really good alternative and probably just as good as what we use today. And the other one that we use today in the reading is the one, or the one sent by God. And I admit I partly like the one because it rhymes with the son. And if you're familiar with the text and you've heard the text all your life, the son being replaced, the one being replaced with the son is a little less jarring, I think. So that's just a word about language and some of the choices we will try to make in the Gospel of John as we move forward, even though it's very complicated sometimes. Now let's move on to a word about this eternal life concept and the angry judgment of God, which our text ended with today. I believe, and many Christians believe as well, that the eternal life talked about in the Gospels is not referring to life after death. It is not about some kind of eternal reward for believing the right things about God or about obeying the right rules. Instead, what I believe, and many people believe, is that the eternal life referred to in the gospel is about the quality of this life on this side of the grave. It's about living a life filled with love, and particularly love lived in the context of community. It's also about living in the moment and appreciating the gift that life is and letting go of our resentments and our fears. All of that gives life this eternal quality. But eternal has that time emphasis on it. It feels like it's about time. It really doesn't communicate the future forever. But perhaps the time element has to do more with how we don't get to relive any moment in our life. Every moment we live will only come once, and then it's gone. So that means every moment is completely unique and completely fleeting and eternal, like the way you never stand in the same river twice. We don't get to do over the way we treated people today. We don't get to do over the things that we thought about today or how we felt or what we did. We get many more moments, hopefully, and opportunities to adjust and to improve or to repair mistakes of the past, but we never get the chance to change the past. And so in a way, every moment is eternal. Now let's go back to the emphasis on community and relationship that I was mentioning. An eternal life is a life lived in community because after we die, it is the people we loved and who loved us that carry our life forward and that carry our memory forward beyond our deaths. Or you could say that negatively, the people that we harmed and mistreated or ignored will be the ones who carry our life and our memory forward. And just to give this a biblical grounding and a theological grounding, remember what I've said multiple times in this series, references to Jesus in John's gospel are not references to the historical Jesus, but are descriptions of the way the early church experienced the risen Christ in the context of community. By loving each other, by sharing around a common table, by welcoming diverse people who had long been separated by class and ethnicity and religion and gender, the early church experienced Christ, and then they carried the life of Christ forward. So according to John, those who believe or trust in the one, or Jesus, or Christ, are those who trust in loving communities, or those who practice love in the context of community. So to trust in these loving communities, to practice love in community, is to live a rich, full, eternal life. And those who don't trust in love, and who insist instead on seeking after power and hoarding wealth at the expense of the poor and who seek to harm people, or just those who live in fear or distrust with a closed heart, on those people, the angry judgment of God remains, not because God is some man up in the sky wagging his finger and wanting to punish us, but because God is love, and love is God. And so if you don't trust in love, you don't trust in love. How we live is the consequence. In other words, we can interpret references to God's judgment or God's anger, not as if God is a person who wants to punish us, but as a description of how life works. If you live a fearful, angry, bitter, hateful life, the judgment is that you live a fearful, angry, bitter, hateful life. If you live a life filled with love and kindness and care for all things, then the judgment is that you live a life filled with love and kindness and care for all things. So let me just try to pull that all together by paraphrasing the famous passage that we read last week from John 3, 16 and 17. And then I'll finally end with words from Mama Cass. From John 3:16, God so loved the world that God gave love practiced in community, so that everyone who practices love in community will have a rich, full, eternal life. God didn't send this love into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through the practice of love. Whoever trusts in love isn't judged. Whoever doesn't trust in love is already judged because they don't trust in love. And then these words from, actually the songwriter is Sharon Rucker, but made famous by Mama Cass. The song is, "Don't let the good life pass you by," but I'm just gonna change the good life to eternal life. Did you ever lie and listen to the rainfall? Did you ever own a homemade apple pie? Did you ever listen to the blackbird singing? Don't let eternal life pass you by. Did you ever hold a hand to stop its trembling? Did you ever watch the sun desert the sky? Did you ever hold a lover while they're sleeping? Don't let eternal life pass you by. We were made for loving, not for buying. Gold can't get the things we really need. Just look, my friend, there's happiness in living, somewhere between broke and being free. Did you ever see the funny side of losing? Did you ever sit right down and have a cry? Did you ever take the time to help a neighbor? Don't let eternal life pass you by. Amen.
Thanks for listening to sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto, located at 1140 Cowper Street in Palo Alto, California. If you'd like to worship with us, we gather Sundays at 10 a.m., both in person and online. And you can find more information about our congregation, worship, and ministries at fpcpaloalto.org. We hope to see you soon.